Blog Talk Radio.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keyes, and on Facebook, check me out, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keyes. Thank you so much for supporting and downloading. Even though I was on a hiatus for a bit, you guys were still downloading. I could see that, and I appreciate that. Remember to follow on the social media because, you know, I do a lot of giveaways. Today I'll probably be giving away a book, you know, I give away CDs, all types of things. And I just want you to win. So tune in and follow. But today we're talking about a really important subject because this month is Tourette Syndrome Awareness Month. And so I wanted to have some guests on that could speak about the subject. And I learned researching so much about the subject. So I think everybody needs to be aware of the truth. Let's put it this way. There's a lot of fake news out there about this situation. So we need to get the real news. My first guest I have is Dr. Emily Ricketts. She is a clinical specialist in the Department of Psychiatry and Biobehavioral Sciences at the University of California, Los Angeles, Simmel Institute for Neuroscience and Human Behavior. Good morning, Dr. Ricketts.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Her research is funded from the NIMH, and it focuses on Tourette's syndrome disorder and a lot of other things, obsessive compulsive spectrum and circadian disturbances, underlying neurocognitive mechanisms, all types of things. So she is definitely a specialist. And I also have another specialist, if you will. Her name is Chloe Winston, and she is the Tourette Association Youth Ambassador. Good morning, Chloe.
Good morning. Thank you for having me as well.
Thank you very much, both of you, for coming on the show this morning. I know we're in the middle of this coronavirus. What in the heck? Chloe, how are you handling this coronavirus? What are you doing anything special to protect yourself or communicate with your friends and family?
I've been texting with my friends and hanging out with my family. It's been interesting going out because when I tick, because people wear masks, I can't really tell how they handle it or how they take it. And so it's been a little more difficult.
Yes, yes, for everyone. And Dr. Ricketts, how about you? Anything special you're doing? How are you handling communicating with your friends and family?
Yeah, well, I talked on the phone with my parents quite a bit, and, you know, they're actually in Florida, so I'm getting a little concerned for them because it sounds like cases are heating up over there.
Yeah, they went up.
You know, yeah, definitely. So I hope it levels out. I FaceTime, you know, do the video chat on my phone with my friends, and I've had some work video chats as well. Group kind of happy hour like chat too, so that's fun.
Oh yeah, my daughter has done that with her coworkers. They did something with Netflix, a Netflix party thing, and I tried to download the app, and it's supposed to go with your browser. I don't know. I gave up. I couldn't do it. But I've been trying to do like a family video chat on a weekly basis, and it's a bit, little better than just talking on the phone. What about food and stuff? I mean, are you guys eating the same thing? Did you stock up? Chloe, did your family stock up on stuff? Or is everybody scared about that?
Well, I feel like we stocked up in the beginning, but now it's kind of like leveled out. So we do like the normal amount of grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Ricketts, how about you? Same thing or different?
Yeah, same thing. I remember the first few days or the first week, and everybody was tense in the stores, roaming around, hunting for food. But, you know, I think that just, yeah, it leveled out, and people, you know, eventually stopped stocking up as much. So I just go to the grocery store weekly and grab what I need, and I just wear my mask, and it's fine. Although toilet paper was hard to find in the beginning. I was not prepared, I will admit.
Oh, my God. That was like whoever went and got all the toilet paper the first day of the announcement or something is probably like rich as I don't know what, okay? Because even now still I go to CVS. It's like maybe like two things of toilet paper. But I went to BJ's and I got 40 rolls of toilet paper. So if anybody needs toilet paper, I can mail you some toilet paper, okay?
Now you're set.
Let's start talking about the actual subject we're here to talk about, which is the Tourette syndrome. And Dr. Ricketts, what is Tourette syndrome? Can you explain to the audience what that is?
Yeah, so Tourette syndrome is a neurological disorder, sometimes referred to as neurodevelopmental, but it involves involuntary movements and vocalizations, as in sounds or words. And ultimately it means that they've persisted for longer than a year if the diagnosis is Tourette syndrome. And, you know, we would call these involuntary movements or, you know, and sounds that happen without you intending them to, tics. So that's what they're referred to. And this is a chronic lifelong condition. Yeah, and so, you know, people with tics often also report having an urge to tic or a physical sensation in their body right before they have the tic. And it's usually in the body site that's associated with the tic. Sometimes it can also feel like a something is not just right to them also. So that can be another kind of triggering sensation. Feeling that
Chloe,
they have.
Is this what she's saying, how you feel before you have a tic? Do you have an itch or do you know it's coming? How do you feel when that happens?
Usually I feel like pressure wherever I need tic. Like if it's a vocal tic, I'll feel it like all in my jaw and I can't like keep my mouth shut. Or if it's like if I have to hit my chest and I'll feel it in my chest and my hand. It's kind of like really intense pressure like right before you sneeze.
Now, do you have both vocal and physical tics?
Yes.
Okay. And can you stop it? Do you feel like you could stop it? What happens if you try to stop it?
I can't really suppress my tics. I can do it for like 10 seconds and then I just like explode. And it's even worse than it would have been if I had just ticked initially.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so
okay.
We,
now,
we
Dr. Ricketts, is that what you see when people you study, that it makes it worse?
You know, it varies. So, you know, we know that tics are briefly suppressible, as Chloe's describing. But, you know, in terms of that rebound effect where you may have kind of heightened tics after suppressing, that really varies between people. So it's not always the case. I think when it's studied experimentally, I think they found that they didn't find it as much. It does happen. It definitely does happen.
Now, how often, how soon can a child be diagnosed with Tourette's? When do you normally see it appear in a person?
Yeah, so on average, between 5 and 7 years of age is usually the onset. But you know, it could range between, often between 4 and 8 years is common. But under 18 years is what is part of the criteria, I would say. So if you're, you know, in order to get the diagnosis of Tourette's, you need to be under 18 years of age.
Now, Chloe, you the bio I got sent, it says you did not get diagnosed until you were 17. Did you
yes.
feel things were happening before then and just nobody was listening to you?
Well, now that I really, like, understand tics, I think I had, like, very, very small ones growing up, like, every once in a while, but it didn't get really bad until I was about 16. So that's when, like, everyone started to notice it and was like, what is wrong with you?
And then what happened? Did they take you to the doctor?
Well,
or to, where did you go?
I remember the day my tics got bad, I kept, like, moving my head and clicking my tongue, so I went to urgent care, and they were kind of like, we don't know what's wrong with you, go home. And so after that,
oh, my God.
Yeah, after that, I went to see a neurologist, who was like, you probably have Tourette's, and then about a year later, I got diagnosed.
Okay. Is that, Dr. Ricketts, have you heard of late diagnosis like that before?
Yes, and when that happens, usually, you know, our perception on the other side of things is that, is exactly what Chloe is saying, that perhaps this, you know, this individual had some types of tics when they were younger, but perhaps they were milder or no one realized they were tics, and that they just went, you know, they were missed potentially, or maybe they had another diagnosis as well, and people kind of thought it was part of that instead.
Now, where does this come from? Is this genetic? Is this environmental? Do people see it repeating in family members?
Yeah, so there definitely is a genetic component to it, but it's linked to many genes. That it's not pinned down to any single gene. It does run in families as well. You may see either Tourette's or obsessive compulsive disorder going back in the family, but it also does involve the brain as well. So the part of the brain called the basal ganglia that's involved in planning of movement and stopping our movements is the part of the brain that's affected in Tourette.
Now, Chloe, does anyone else in your family have Tourette that you know about?
No. My brother has one single tic, like just one. And I think he's had it pretty much all his life, but he doesn't have a diagnosis or anything, but, like, he just has one single tic. But other than that, no one has Tourette in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have the tic, do you get tired afterwards because you keep having them? How does it physically affect you? And how does it mentally affect you? I'm sure it's a little wearing on you.
Yeah, I think physically I do get tired. Like, when I have a bad tic day, my tics are really bad, I go to bed earlier and I'm really exhausted at the end of the day. But mentally it makes it hard to focus. Like, in school when I'm ticking, sometimes, like, I don't pick up what the teacher's saying and all that. So it can be really difficult to focus in school. But I've kind of just learned to work around it and work with my teachers. So.
And your teachers are being supportive of you in your school?
Yes. I've only ever had one teacher that wasn't supportive, but after a couple of conversations, we kind of figured it out. So.
That's good. That's good. Now, Dr. Ricketts, is there any kind of medication that people can take to help maybe not, quote-unquote, take it away, but at least alleviate some pain or discomfort that people might be having?
So the first line medication that's recommended is the class is alpha agonist. So clonidine, guanfacine, those kinds of medications, just because they are associated with maybe fewer side effects relative to other types of medications. For example, antipsychotic medications are also used. They do work well, but they can have more side effects. So,
Chloe, do you mind me asking, are you taking any medication right now yourself, or how are you handling the medication side?
I've tried guanfacine, and I've also tried Abilify. Okay, but it made me really tired, so I currently don't take it anymore. And then I had a side effect of clofazine, but I don't remember what it was. And I also took clonidine, but that made me really, really tired. So I had to stop taking it because I kept falling asleep in school and all that. So.
Now, how did you become ambassador, Tourette Association Youth Ambassador?
It was kind of by chance. I was just, like, looking up Tourette Syndrome stuff online. That kind of came across the page, and I was like, this seems really interesting. So I filled out the profile, this phone call, and then I got in. It was really exciting.
Wow, that is so awesome. And Dr. Ricketts, everybody that has a tick, do they have Tourette? Like her brother, she said, has one tick.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case, or is there other types of neurological issues that have ticks?
Thanks for allowing me to touch on that. So, you know, there are other types of persistent tick disorders. So Tourette syndrome is referring to having multiple motor tics and one or more vocal tics that have lasted longer than 12 months, but there's also persistent motor tic disorder, which means that you've had just one or more motor tics or movements that have lasted longer than 12 months, and then there's the same with vocal tic disorder. So, you know, if all your life you've had a single motor tic or more, then and it's lasted longer than 12 months like it has for her brother, then you know, it might mean that it's persistent motor tic disorder. If it's only ever been vocal, then it's persistent vocal tic disorder. Once you have a Tourette syndrome diagnosis, it will not change back to, you know, it wouldn't change back to like a persistent motor tic disorder or persistent vocal tic disorder, even if as you age, perhaps you no longer experience vocal tics, for example.
That's what I was reading what you just were saying. As you age, in some cases, the frequency lessens. Is that true?
Yes, it is true for some people. We believe it to be in about 2/3 of cases that, you know, tics tend to peak between the ages of 10 to 12 years or so, and then, you know, they tend to decline in severity during adolescence steadily. And then by the time you reach early adulthood, in 2/3 of cases, it's at a kind of a milder level, or maybe minimal for some. But in the other third of cases, it seems like tics do persist at, you know, moderate to severe levels throughout adulthood.
Okay, and then what about when the person comes like a senior, like, you know, like at my age, I'm 50, I'm getting old. I mean, if you're like, is it stay throughout their lifetime?
Yeah, I mean, it would persist throughout the lifetime, but we actually don't have a lot of information on seniors, so that's an area where we're lacking, you know, the experience of seniors with Tourette syndrome and other tic disorders, so... We definitely need more information on that.
What is your job as the youth ambassador? You're doing interviews. What other things do you do for the association?
Well, I go around and give presentations, educate people on Tourette syndrome, and talk about my experience. So that's most of what I do. But also, I would like advocate on social media and things like that. So.
Okay. Now, do you lead any other groups, like with other youth that have Tourette's? Do you do that type of thing?
I have not.
Do you think that's important that people who have Tourette's talk with other people so they don't feel like out of sorts or maybe isolated?
Yeah, I do have a lot of friends who also have Tourette's syndrome that I met through the Youth and Master Program, medical internet. And it's really helpful to them. It's like they understand, and it's like someone like understands your struggle from day to day.
Have you ever been bullied about this? Has anybody tried to, you know, harass you in school and things?
I've, in terms of school, no, but like in public, I've had people yell at me when I have like swearing tics and things like that. It's only happened like once or twice, but it's kind of scary and makes you not want to go out.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, I've seen people that have the swearing. Dr. Ricketts, is that a specific type of Tourette where people curse? Is that different than just repeating a certain word?
It's not a specific type of Tourette syndrome. It's a specific type of tic. It's called coprolalia. And, you know, I thank you for bringing that up because, it is really important to know that it really only occurs in about 10% of cases. And so it's not as common as the media would make it seem. It seems like the public's perception now is that is what Tourette is. But really, the most common tics are things like eye blinking and nose scrunching, coughing, throat clearing, facial movements and head jerks and shoulder movements. So those are really the more common tics. But coprolalia is what we would consider a complex vocal tic. And it's just the media has definitely latched onto that as it's been sensationalized in that way. But it's leading to problems with trying to educate the public and make people aware of what Tourette syndrome is and isn't. So.
Now, do boys or girls, I read something that boys are more diagnosed with Tourette. Is that true?
Yes. So boys are about 3 to 5 times more likely to have Tourette syndrome than girls. So yes, there definitely is, there is a difference there, but girls do still have, Tourette syndrome and tics.
Now, Chloe, how is this affecting you emotionally? What do you do to help, just deal with going to school and being tired? Do you yoga or is there any like special thing that you do to help you?
Well, exercise really helps. Just being focused on something really helps calm my tics down. So like if I'm reading or sometimes like coloring or exercising or like hanging out with my family, my tics tend to go down. And so that can be really helpful.
Okay. So just calming situations that you're familiar with. Is that something you see, Dr. Ricketts, more when somebody's around less stressful situations that their tics calm down a little?
Yes. So, definitely changes in mood and settings, activities do have an influence on tics. You know, there are certain times where tics are much worse for people than others. So stress and anxiety is a big one. If maybe they're sick, excitement sometimes, being tired is a big one too. Tics definitely, they wax and wane or they fluctuate in severity all on their own, but also, in relation to these changes in situation. They also change in form over time as well, too.
Now,
so
how
the
about
tic that you have when you're younger. We know that tics are just as likely to occur in any race or ethnicity. So there's, we don't believe there's any reason that they occur in any race or ethnicity over another, more so.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do find is that white children are about 2 times as likely to have a diagnosis than African American and Hispanic youth. And this is just referring to getting that diagnosis.
Why do you think that is?
So
why do you think that is that?
Yeah.
Because of systematic racism? Is it because people, mm-hmm. doctors themselves, are not knowledgeable about Tourette's? What is that?
You know, it's so complex. I think that it's a combination maybe of, I think in general, broadly, there is a lack of awareness of what Tourette syndrome is. So I feel like that could be part of it. But also it's possible, you know, because Tourette's is commonly, it does commonly co-occur with other conditions, like ADHD is the number one co-occurring condition, okay. Also obsessive compulsive disorder. So maybe there might be other things going on that might, you know, draw the parent's attention towards, you know, other symptoms, and maybe, you know, the tics just go unnoticed. So yeah, it's definitely,
No, sorry, I just was going to ask Chloe. So Chloe, what are your plans for the summertime? Do you have any special things since we have this COVID going on? I know you might feel a little like confined in house.
Well, I'm supposed to like go back on another getaway soon, which will be exciting. And I want to try to do some virtual presentations because I have some presentations planned for COVID and they all got canceled. So I still want to educate and make people aware, but I need to do it in like a safer manner than like going in person. So I want to try to do things like through Skype and things like that.
Okay. Now, what about going to school? I mean, is school in your area going to be opened in the fall?
I actually have no idea. I think maybe we might be, it might be like an every other day situation where you go in one day and you don't go in the other day. That's what they were saying. I don't know if they come out with a concrete plan yet, but that's what they were saying at the end of the year.
Now, how long are you the ambassador? Is it like a year-long thing, or is it 6 months? How long will you be an ambassador?
I believe you are an ambassador pretty much the rest of your life. But when you turn 16,
okay.
you can apply to be a rising leader, and that's like a step up from being a youth ambassador.
Do you think you might do that?
I definitely want to do it next summer. Hopefully, if, you know, we're allowed to do things like that. But, yeah, I'm definitely interested.
So, Dr. Dorickis, what is the end result you hope to do with your studying and your research? Are you trying to find a cure? Are you trying to find where Tourette's is coming from? What is your goal in your research?
So my research is, you know, it's focused on just understanding more about the clinical features of Tourette syndrome, but also, you know, studying new or applying interventions to Tourette syndrome to see how it might help. And I'm particularly interested in sleep and circadian interventions and looking at sleep difficulties in Tourette syndrome and circadian difficulties that might be present.
What about twins?
Yeah, many...
Now, people who are twins, have you ever had twins, both twins had Tourette's, or one had and one didn't?
That definitely does happen. There are some genetic studies with, you know, twin studies that have examined that. It can happen. You know, they would look at both identical and you know, fraternal twins, and look at the rates of
see what's going on
of Tourette syndrome. Yeah, and you would find that the rate would be higher in you know, in the identical twins. But I haven't personally worked with somebody who had a twin who had Tourette's. But siblings, you do see siblings as well. Yeah,
right.
Both
well, I want to thank mm-hmm. both of you guys. I want to thank you, Chloe, for doing the work that you're going to do, being a youth ambassador, and also Dr. Ricketts for your research. I really appreciate both of you taking the time. Dr. Ricketts is all the way in California. It's really early for her. But thank you guys for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. And I also just wanted to mention that, you know, in addition to medication, there is also behavior therapy for Tourette. Called Comprehensive Behavioral Intervention for Tics, or Habit Reversal Training. I didn't touch on that when I was talking about medications, but it's out there. We're trying to disseminate
it. Okay. Well, I want to tell people that they are both here because of the Tourette Association of America, and their website is Tourette's.org. So you guys can check out their information there, more support, more information about studies, different support groups and things like that. I want to thank everybody for listening. We're going to be doing a second show. I'm going to have another author on. So I hope you stay tuned. Again, you can follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter. You can check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And you can also go to Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. So you guys have a wonderful Saturday, and hopefully you'll stay tuned, or I'll see you next week. Okay, bye-bye.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.